I'm Mark Gagan, and you're listening to a special episode of the Voice of Insurance podcast, produced in association with insurance technology solution specialist, Viper. Today's guest is Viper's client services director, David Butler. On this show, I speak to lots of CEOs, and that means my guests are sometimes quite far removed from the day-to-day solving of problems for clients. David's job is to be as close to the client as possible, finding out what their real problems are, and therefore what they really need. It's then his job to make sure that what Viper are providing those customers with is exactly what's required. And more importantly, that customers have all the training and support to make sure that they can get the maximum benefit out of a product and can adapt and reconfigure it effectively as their business develops. All this means that he probably has his finger closer on the pulse of what is worrying carriers in the market than almost anyone around. So, as the market digitizes and looks to analyze the new data pools that it is collecting and applying new technologies like AI, it's people like David who are going to be doing all the heavy lifting. David is a technology specialist with just under 30 years' experience, and his insights into how to make the most of all the exciting new tech at our disposal, or just coming on stream, is hugely valuable. He's also a really friendly person who has spent much of that long career explaining complicated ideas in ways that are really easy to understand. And that's why I can heartily recommend a listen today. Enjoy the podcast. David, welcome to the Voice of Insurance.
Thank you very much, Mark. Great to be with you today.
Why don't you set the scene? Tell us a bit about yourself and your career to date and how you came into your current role.
Certainly. I operated for about 15 years as an independent management consultant in the business change transformation space and found myself working with Moore Stephens Consulting. And that's really my introduction to the London market.
Yes, so that was the business that ended up in what is now Verisk, I think,
isn't
it?
That's right. Yeah. So I was involved in the transfer across to them, integration of the business, a few years working with SQL and Verisk there, found myself back out consulting again. And then the call came from Viper when I was working for a banking software house. And knowing Viper by reputation, it was just too good an opportunity to pass by.
So what did you like about Viper then? Did you know them personally?
I knew a couple of the people personally, but really, the products have been long known as best in class in the market. And so that was appealing, knowing that. But really, once I got talking to the business, it was really about the people. It was really about the proposition of working with a team of people who are committed to the growth of the business, committed to the products, and more importantly, committed to the client base.
I've done two other podcasts with Paul and Sebastian, and I knew the business reasonably well. I thought I did. And over the years, we'd sort of seen the business as it had grown over the preceding 10, 12 years. But for me, again, it was the same. The human side of it was actually really gratifying, was really enjoyable. There were a nice bunch of people, aren't they?
Exactly that. I was sold the dream and I've bought and sold and that's it. So I'm here now and absolutely delighted to be working this.
So business. Now you're in, you've got your feet under the table. What do you find yourself doing? What's your specific role here?
Most of my time is spent really building on the excellent work that the team have already done and executed in the business. So it's really looking at how we can get ourselves set for the next period of growth and expansion in the business. We're doing so well in the London market at this moment in time. Consolidation of our position as the market leader here is the sort of plan for the next year or so. And then really looking at other territories and how we can really support other territories in benefiting from our products and services.
Because you've really got a big market share here in the London market, certainly in the Lloyd's market.
We have, absolutely, yeah. The Lloyd's managing agents, we're at about 50% now. We expect to really continue with that over the course of the next year with some of the changes that are happening structurally in the market at this moment in time.
And obviously that expansion, when we talk about expansion in insurance, we think USA straight away, don't we?
Exactly
North America.
Exactly that. We've got 6 clients over in the US at this moment in time, and we've got big plans. We're spending a lot of time over there over the coming months. The market over there, which is more disparate, much more disparate than London, is really crying out for the safety that our solutions afford our clients, really.
So this is really a universal problem, isn't it, that you're solving? It doesn't really matter where you are in the world. People are still swimming in Excel spreadsheets and everything else.
It's exactly that. It's really trying to bring control, standardization, conformity, predictability, and then, of course, off the back of all of that data management stuff, valuable insight.
So you're more about bringing in new clients or you're more about looking after the new clients? And it's one of those jargony things we say, onboarding, getting them on board the great ship Viper.
It has to be both of those things. So my focus very much is around the initial implementation of our solutions and making sure it absolutely meets our clients' needs and our clients' requirements. But of course, we've got 50 clients now. they all have emerging and developing needs of our solutions as well. So we have to constantly have an eye on how the product meets their needs, their evolving needs, and how we can continue to service and look after them as well.
Because really, it's not like Windows 95, you get the old CD-ROM and you install it and then it's sort of done. It's not like that. I presume these days you've got 50 customers, so you have a huge amount of customer service. It's ongoing, as it never really ends. It's not like, hey, they've bought Intralia or one of your solutions, and it's like, great, I don't have to talk to them again. I can go and find another customer.
No, you're absolutely right, Mark, in that the solution itself is one part of it. How that solution meets their evolving business is really what we do on an ongoing basis. The solution's constantly evolving, but not only is the solution constantly evolving, the client's requirements are as they underwrite new lines of business, as there are new sets of data that they're processing, all of that stuff is what we need to be able to...
they've got new regulatory requirements, or they're moving to new territory or anything.
Exactly that. As their business evolves, we need to be able to develop the system to be able to evolve with them.
So you're spending most of your time with existing clients, or are you spending a lot of your time going out and talking to new clients? What's the main division of labor there for you?
A lot of my time is spent with our new clients and setting up our projects and our new implementations and making sure they're absolutely fit and right to meet their requirements. That said, we always have an eye on our existing clients. We always have a real focus on ensuring that our existing client base are getting exactly what they need out of the product.
It's always tempting, isn't it, from a salesperson, they just want to make a sale, but you can't just sell something that doesn't actually fit what they need, because they'll come back to you within 5 minutes and say, you know, this doesn't really work for me. I need it to do something else.
Exactly that. And as I was saying earlier, it's really about ensuring that the solutions that our clients have, we're able to evolve those solutions with them. And a big part of what we do in achieving that as well, Mark, is trying to build out self-sufficiency for our clients as well. So really trying to ensure that not only do we help them in solutioneering their problems, we help them build their capability to be able to do that on a long-term basis themselves.
So someone's a bit like the old saying, you know, give a man a fish and you can feed him for a day, teach a man to fish and he can feed himself.
Exactly that. What we've realized of late is that we really need to evolve our education and training for our clients to make sure that they can, once implemented, manage the solution themselves, evolve the solution themselves, and feel like they're self-sufficient and that they can continue to work with our solutions to be able to manage their business needs.
You've got a whole career of implementing solutions and integrating them into a business, into their processes. What's the best way of going about it? Is it really all about finding out exactly what they need before you start selling them something that you think they need?
It really is exactly that. We need to make sure we really understand what the client's problem is and what the solution to that problem is, work through that with them, make sure that we match up what their needs are with the solutions that we can provide. There's no point in us trying to install a technology for them. We really need to implement a solution that really meets their specific requirements and overcomes their specific problems and challenges.
Is it important to get an easy win early in the process?
It's really important to get quick wins for our clients. It's really important that we are able to realize benefits early for them in the process and that they can see the value of our solutions early in the process. In doing this, we're then able to help them prove out in the business the value proposition really of working with us.
And do you often find that they've got pain points that they didn't know they had? I want to find out what their problems are and where their pain points are. But actually, you are able to find ones that they didn't even know they had because they'd be so used to doing this slightly cumbersome workaround that they didn't know there was another way of doing it.
Often. And we've really evolved our implementation process so that we do that analysis up front now. So rather than simply installing the product for the client and then trying to work through solutioneering their problems at that point, we really try and get under the skin of what their specific business need is. And our consultants who've now years and years literally of implementing these solutions and designing these solutions for clients across a whole broad range of client base and lines of business and sectors of the market, they're able to look at the client's problems through a fresh set of eyes, really, and bring their experience to bear in designing solutions for them.
You were saying that you spend a lot of time teaching the client how to use the product, that's a really big part of what you're doing. Is that something that enough software businesses are actually doing?
I don't know that it's commonplace. I think our tools are really flexible. They're dynamic, they're configurable. That's their real valuable asset because we can configure them to meet specific clients' requirements. It's also a bit of a downside as well, because unless we show people how to do that properly, they're really configurable and so can be poorly configured to not necessarily optimally meet clients' requirements. What we've evolved in recent times is our Viper education program. So this is a modular program where we can teach people in a sort of hierarchical way the skills that they need either to operate the system, to configure the system, or to administer and really own and manage the system going forwards. So that's part of what we've evolved in recent times.
So would you say that actually, pound for pound, is it more important actually to have better pre-sales and post-sales service than it is to have actually the best product?
It's absolutely a marriage of the two, really, I think, Mark. It's ensuring that the product is absolutely fit and does what it says. However, it's really, really key that the clients understand where those benefits can be realized by the configuration of those products and where they can, on an ongoing basis, make use of those products as their business evolves.
You could have the best product in the world, but if you didn't have the right service and the right pre- and post-sales service, then actually you wouldn't be doing the right thing.
Exactly
that. Well.
Exactly that. It's really realization of what the product can do to meet the client-specific requirements.
What is the star product at Viper?
Well, Intrali is our most well-known product. Intrali is our border row management ingestion tool. That's the one that most of our clients have. However, our coverholder due diligence product, Intaga, we've got an enormous amount of demand for that at this moment in time. And our newest product, which is Insights, is really looking at how we take that bordereau data that's been ingested and provide valuable insights to our clients.
So it's starting to look at, you know, who are my best cover holders? What are they doing? Where are they doing it? Should I be encouraging them to be doing more of this and less of that? That kind of thing.
It's exactly that. So it's moving from control, standardization, and operational efficiency as part of really the benefits that our clients realize, towards what's the valuable information that they can understand about how their business is performing and what informed decision-making can they make off the back of that.
And Intaga, that's...
Coverholder due diligence.
Due diligence,
workflow.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly that.
Because there's a lot of focus on that from regulators and quasi-regulators, isn't there?
Very much so. And it's a really flexible and dynamic tool so that the coverholder due diligence process that our customers have, the tool can be tailored to very much meet their needs. So our out-of-the-box workflow meets the regulatory requirements, but in terms of how they want to operate that business process internally, we can dynamically configure the product to meet that specific requirement that they have.
So if a regulator comes in, you can be firing all this stuff out at them without having to cause a lot of pain for
exactly
people in the finance department. And what usually happens is, well, you know, hang on a minute, we've got an inspection. Can you drop everything? When you spend the next 3 days collating 15 different spreadsheets and trying to come up with a number.
It's exactly that, Mark, and it's standardizing. It's all the controls of standardization, conformance, repeatability. It's removing the possibility of human error from what are essentially really important and integral control processes to an organization.
You've got these three main products at the moment, and Charlie's obviously the star because that's the core product. What do you think is going to be the evolution of Viper over time? You know, what would be your star product in 5 years' time? It might still be Intrali, but obviously the sort of more exciting, better version of it. But what might that be in 10 years' time, particularly as the whole world's getting more digitized and the data is becoming more digital and less frictional?
I think that Intrali will continue to play a core part in that, Mark. However, the opportunity that presents itself to us is as more of the Lloyd's managing agents take Intrali, and we really have most of the data that flows through Lloyd's passing through Intrali, we're really starting to look forward to the opportunities to data share and to really evolve towards straight-through processing and how we might really afford significant efficiencies, not just to individual customers, but to the market as a whole.
Almost like with the way that a reinsurer or a paper provider might be able to see straight through if this is from an MGA or that kind of thing. So you could see straight through into what's going on in presumably what is now going to be very close to real time.
Exactly that. Real time data, real time decision making, real time standardization, real time insight into the information that's there.
So they can really understand that, yes, I support a cover holder via a couple of relationships, a wholesale relationship, and there's someone in Texas and they've just done this and now I can add that to my aggregate somewhere.
Exactly that. And friction-free as well. Yeah. So all of that operational efficiency.
See what it is.
Exactly that. Right across the food chain.
You know, what kind of roof material is it made of, or, you know, et cetera. I can look at the proposal form if I really want to.
Exactly that. Now, those are the sorts of discussions that we're starting to have at this moment in time. So, of course, it's embryonic, but with the advent of new technologies, we expect to really accelerate through this over the coming years.
How far away is that like to be? So is that more in the 10-year bracket?
I think it's probably sooner than that, Mark. I think we'll be seeing this happening at some point over the next couple of years. We'll be seeing some form of straight-through processing And we'll be building that out, I'm sure, as the market needs it.
What kind of feedback do you get from customers? What's your most common, other than thank you so much, David, I'm absolutely delighted. What's the main feedback you get from them when they're coming onto, you know, in Charlie and Targa and Insights?
Well, I'm really pleased that you say it's thank you very much, because we've had an enormous amount of that over the last few weeks where we have successfully implemented a number of solutions for clients. Our perspective in the business, we're really trying to focus it on benefits for our customers. And so it really is trying to ensure that our customers really see the benefits of the solutions and are able to report that back through their own organizations. So we are receiving an enormous amount of gratitude from customers at this moment in time, and we hope that that will continue for some time to come.
Well, that's very good. Well, there's nothing to report. And obviously, you've got this close relationship. You're very customer-focused. So you can take the temperature of what they're worried about. So how are they feeling at the moment? So what are their main pain points, and what are the main things that you can report back that they're worried about?
There are some worries that are surfacing around the market itself. There are some concerns with technological advancements and what that might mean. So certainly some concerns around how AI might benefit organizations and might really accelerate the development of technology in organizations, but also how that might be done in a controlled way. We're a naturally cautious market, and I think that we're going to see some really strong use cases for AI over the next period. And I think that will be done in a very controlled way, according really to the market's appetite.
Do you think AI is going to be, certainly the main implementations that I've seen on the underwriting side are much more sort of, here's my useful kind of underwriting assistant who's this indefatigable and obviously can't get bored and doesn't get tired or hungover or whatever. It's like having this sort of PhD intern who can rummage through all the stuff that's sort of lying around on the floor and or in my submissions and put them in some kind of order.
That's a really great example of it, Mark, in that that's a very specific use case with very defined parameters, very defined controls around the outside. And I think those will be exactly the sorts of solutions that the market will be exploring.
Making a suggestion rather than actually doing.
Exactly that. And keeping it, as I say, within controllable parameters and visible parameters as well. And those are the sorts of use cases that we're exploring at this moment.
Because people talk about guardrails, don't they, with AI? And what they mean by that is that you know exactly how it's come to its decisions and it hasn't suddenly just gone off on its own and made its own rules up.
Exactly that. And you can see how for an organization like ours that processes enormous amounts of data, how with those guardrails in place, there may be real opportunities for us to do that more effectively as well.
A lot of talk in the market about ecosystems, which sounds really, really sensible, i.e. that an admission from different software companies, particularly, that they can't be the best at everything, but they should enable the best of everything to be available to their customers, i.e. solve the customer's problems in the best possible way. And if there's someone who does a little part of this value chain a little bit better, to say, well, why shouldn't they use that if that would be better for them, i.e. it's whatever's better for the customer. Do you think that's the way that things are going? Viper's part of one ecosystem that I'm aware of. Is that the way, rather than try and be everything?
Absolutely right, Mark. And particularly when you look at the sorts of solutions that we provide to the marketplace, they are very specific. And that's why they're so effective, because they're very concentrated.
Because you really focus on one job.
Exactly that. And we are part of another ecosystem as well. The market does seem to be moving in that direction. And I have to say, it's a very positive thing. My experience in my earlier working life was in the general insurance industry. And that's very much what the general insurance industry has been doing for decades now, which is really looking at the best of possible solutions, the best tool to do the job. Exactly that, yeah.
Yes, I mean, because there's no point suddenly saying, well, you know, the client says, well, I do need a new policy administration system. So, well, oh, we could do that. It's like, well, no. I'd say I recommend these three. They're all really good. To find the one that suits you best or that suits the kind of size of business that you are as well. It's not what you say, well, we'll do it, because that wouldn't... we're about getting ingesting stuff into that.
Exactly that. I've seen an enormous amount of pain caused by organizations who have taken on more than they probably should have done in terms of their own capabilities, their own technological capacity, and really designing out solutions beyond where they perhaps should have done.
Yeah. And a big part of your job with those implementations is making sure that all the Viper solutions are as interoperable as they could possibly be.
Exactly that. And I think the way technology has moved in the last 10 years or so has made that all the more readily available. Plug and play APIs, service buses, all of those good technologies that really make these interfaces and integrations between different organizations and different technological capabilities much more simple to achieve.
So plug and play is just a bit like when you're USB, you just plug your mouse in and it works without you having to do anything.
Exactly that. And for us, that is building capabilities that interface with other organizations' capabilities in a readily available way.
And APIs are, I always forget, and I've unpicked this abbreviation lots of times before, but is it automated programmable interface or programming interface?
If that's what you say it is today, Mark, then that's what it is. Absolutely.
But it's basically your computers are plugged into each other, so they do the talking to each other.
It's exactly that. It's like the two sides of a jigsaw piece already being pre-configured.
Bus? Did you say something about a
service bus? Yeah, so that's really...
It's not an actual bus with wheels.
Well, the bus is another acronym as well.
But there's a lot of buses in computing, because obviously USB is a universal serial bus.
It's that, yes.
I don't really know what the bus is.
Well, the bus is, as I say, that's another acronym, the buses, but I'm
not... I suppose it takes you from one place to another, I presume.
It's exactly that.
So bus is just, you can get on the bus and it'll go over to wherever you need to go.
Well, the BUS is an acronym of sorts, but I'm not quite sure what it stands for.
I'll have to go and dig out that one. Yeah. I don't know.
Once you know, let me know.
Yes, I mean, it's always fun. There's always some funny things in computing that you wonder where they came from, but often the explanation is less remarkable than you think it would be. But a bus, so yeah, bus is going to be, again, trucking your stuff from one place to another.
Exactly.
Where it needs
exactly
to go. That. How much automation do you think we're going to get? Is it ultimately... in insurance, particularly at the level of insurance that Viper's dealing with, i.e. the more sophisticated, the more bespoke, the more slightly doesn't fit in the box type of insurance. Because do you think it's going to be, again, what we were talking about, more just assistance rather than taking over from what the underwriter's doing?
I think it's a really interesting question, Mark. And I think it's an interesting question because we really have to listen to what our customers want and what the market wants. I think there's technology out there already now that could massively accelerate how we do business. However, whether our customers are really ready for that and really want to do that themselves and really want to give themselves over to accelerating their digital journeys, we'll have to listen and be ready to react and respond and to help with solutions as we're able to.
Wow. Well, David, I've really enjoyed chatting to you. It sounds like you're having a lot of fun, lots of new customers, really busy, lots of obviously current customers as well to keep happy and keep servicing. And obviously, lots of new technologies and lots of great initiatives in the marketplace and a growing marketplace to deal with. So all good news and keep yourself busy.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mark. It's been excellent spending the time with you today. And I really look forward to catching up with you at some point soon enough.
Absolutely. Well, it won't be long, I'm sure, because Viper years are different from other people's. You're moving very fast. So we'll have to catch up.
7-1, we think we are.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, David. I really enjoyed chatting to you.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, don't forget to subscribe or leave a like or a review or recommendation on whatever podcast platform you used to access this program. These really help get the word out. Before we go, just a quick reminder that advertising slots are available here and in other places in the Voice of Insurance podcasts. Podcasting is the fastest growing medium and attracts a high quality audience of key decision makers. It's also an intimate medium where you, the listener, are right in the room with me and the interview subjects. Needless to say, that means it's a great way of getting your message out directly to an audience because you know you've got their full attention. It's also very cost effective. So get in touch with Mark at thevoiceofinsurance.com to find out how you could be speaking directly to the industry. Voice of Insurance is produced by me, Mark Gagan. Music was written by Anna Gagan and produced by Carlos Gagan. Check out more podcasts and written comment pieces at www.thevoiceofinsurance.com.